In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. And may the Lord be praised both now and forever. Hallelujah. From the rising of the sun to the setting, may the name of the Lord be praised, for he is worthy of our adoration and of our praise. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit. I'm thinking today about the founders of religious orders. I'm thinking of people like today's feast day is Teresa of Avila. Teresa of Jesus is her name. She is a magnificent woman. I want to talk about Teresa of Avila today. And I want to put her in perspective. She was a nun, and she went into a Carmelite convent. But for many, many years, she spent time, you know, entertaining people. She was very, very, very jovial, and people loved her. And they would be attracted to her, and she was very bright, a very bright woman, very educated. And people would come to the convent, and, you know, she'd be talking with them and laughing with them and having a grand old time. But one thing Teresa of Avila did, I'm going to tell you this, she never stopped praying. Even though when she prayed, she would watch the hourglass as the salt went from the top to the bottom. She would be there every day and, you know, probably be more bored than the wallpaper falling off the walls. You know what I'm saying? But she would pray every day. Even though she couldn't put her heart in it, she would pray every day. You know, when you pray, the Holy Ghost convicts you. He convicts you of sin, not condemns you, because there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And he convicted her that she was wasting her life. Wasting her life. And one day, when she left the chapel, there was a statue of our Lord who had been beaten with whips, you know, the flagellation. And she knelt down before that statue, and she said to Jesus, "I will not move until you change me." And there begins the new Teresa of Avila. Second conversion, born again, baptized in the Holy Spirit, a woman of God. She left that place a woman of God. And she began to do things that nobody else could do. What she did was to reform the Carmelite order, whose founder is Elijah. Oh, yes, the founder of the Carmelites is Elijah the Tishbite, as we see in Kings. He was the one who was the prophet, and he was the one who was the one who sought the Lord. And so she reformed the whole Carmelite order. But let me tell you this, it wasn't easy. Because she would say things like this. She was very shot from the hip, you know, a woman that shot from the hip. She would say things like this, "I would rather be dealing with a host of devils than three unhappy nuns in the convent." Imagine. "I would rather be dealing with a host of devils than three unhappy nuns." You want to know why? Because these three unhappy nuns would destroy the whole thing. They'd be like the one apple that would destroy every apple. I also remember when she brought her sisters out for recreation. And they're out doing recreation. I don't know. Maybe they're sewing. I don't know what they're doing. But I'm telling you, she said to them, we should never, ever, ever be jealous of what happens in the world. The poor people in the world don't even know their left hand from their right when it comes to the things of God. What we need to do is pray for them and to laugh, because the people in the world think that all the things they acquire is what's going to make them happy. For only Jesus can make a person happy. Oh, she was in love with Jesus. Her name was Teresa of Jesus. Mother Teresa of Jesus reformed the Carmelite order. Oh, she had great gifts of prayer. As a matter of fact, her cousin was blind, and she prayed for him, and he was healed of his blindness. Oh, she had the charism of healing. But not only that, but she had the charism of the aroma of Christ, that wherever she went, you could smell the holiness of Jesus. For does it not say we are the aroma of Christ unto God? That we smell like Jesus? Oh, yes, she was a prayer. But not only a prayer, she was a traveler, a great traveler. She founded monastery after monastery for the sake of Jesus and the sake of his church, where women would pray and pray for the church. Today we still have these women in Boston. They're in Carmel in Danvers and Carmel in Roxbury. Oh yes, I knew one of these holy women, Sister Mary Elizabeth Stanton, a saint of God who now has gone home to God. I had a meeting with her many years ago. We were talking at the same conference. I was a young man way before I went into the seminary. And you know, since she was at the conference I was at, she said, Tommy, would you drive me home? She knew me, you know, because I knew one of her friends, Sister Miriam. Anyway, I said, sure, sister, I'll drive you to Roxbury. And when I drove to Roxbury, I remember we were on the Mystic River Bridge. It wasn't the Tobin Bridge at the time. And we're driving on the Mystic River Bridge. And I said to her, sister, I really want to do God's will. And she said these words to me. She says, Tommy, if you want to do God's will, the Lord will move heaven and earth to get it accomplished. I thought to myself, this woman has been praying too long. Her head is soft. But I found out that what she said was absolutely true. If you want to do God's will in all reality, the Lord will move heaven and earth if he has to make his will known. It started this way. I was at another communion breakfast speaking because they couldn't find a priest. I was, you know, you'll do. You know, when they couldn't find a priest, it'd be you'll do. So I'd never mind being you'll do, you know what I'm saying? Because God will use me. And I remember driving this blind man home. He was at the communion breakfast. And so we get to his house, and he invites me in, and he says to me, you know, you're kicking against the goad. You are called to be a priest, and you're telling God no. And I know that because I was called to be a priest, and I never gave my consent. Well, I left that house so fast. I'll never forget going through the tunnel that Sunday afternoon. When I went home, I ate like two dishes of pasta, like I've never chowed down anything. I was so upset. Then I was asked to give a retreat for Boston College students many, many years ago. They couldn't find a priest. So I was you'll do again. And I said to these young people, the only thing I want from you, I don't want money, even though I needed money because I wasn't working. I want you to pray that I would do God's will. And they did. And when I left that retreat the next day, the Lord had told me to go apply at the seminary. And I told him, I don't believe this is you, but if it is you, they won't call me. Because I was teaching as a substitute, and they always called me on a Monday. They didn't call me, so I went. And the rest is history. Yes. If you want to do the will of God, He will move both heaven and earth in order for you to do it. If you want to do the will of God. Teresa was a woman who shot from the hip. She was no namby-pamby woman. She was a strong woman of God. A strong, holy woman of God. Oh, yeah, she had gifts. She could float up into the sky. You know, literally, she had the gift of being lifted up. But you know what she used to say to her nuns? If they had that gift of, you know, they would be lifted up to the ceiling. She would say, make sure you sweep the floor first. That's more important right now, that you do that for the love of God. Yeah, she was no easy woman to shave. She spoke the truth. And one day as she was going to found a brand new house, you know, she would always put St. Joseph as the head of her house. She was in a little wagon, and they were going through some streams, and the wagon wheel fell off, and she was filled with mud. And she cried out to the Lord and says, if this is the way you treat your friends, it's no wonder you have so few of them. Oh, yeah, she had an intimate relationship with God. She could say the things that she needed to say. But she loved Jesus. She called him His Majesty. His Majesty, the King. His Majesty, the Lord. Oh, she was in love with Jesus. She was in love with Jesus. If you want to read her life story, get the autobiography of Teresa of Avila. You will find out that she did not have an easy time. You will find out that her life was not all roses. You will find out that God worked through this woman in a magnificent way. She had the great gift of contemplation, the great gift of vision, and she was a worker. I don't know how many homes she founded, how many houses of prayer she founded. But she was, you know, she made it possible for the church and for the women to have what she wanted. I don't know how much she had, because she was always founding a new congregation, a new group, a new house. You know, I don't know how much contemplation she had. I guess it was on the road. It was, you know, I don't know. But you see, she made it possible for women who want to seek the Lord in darkness and give their whole life to Christ for the sake of the church. I tell you, we are indebted to these women. We are indebted to these women. We're indebted to these women. Where would we be without these women who constantly seek the face of God night and day? People say they should be doing work. Let me tell you, Mary chose the better half, and it will not be taken away from her. Let me also tell you that these women, they know more about what's happening in the country and in the world than you do. If I wanted to know anything was happening in the world, I would call Sister Mary Elizabeth. She knew everything about the world, and she knew what she was praying for. She was a mystic. holy woman of God. And today is the feast of the patroness of the Carmelite Order, Saint Teresa of Avila, Mother Teresa of Jesus. How I need your prayers, O wonderful Teresa of Avila, Doctor of the Church, Woman of God, Intercessor, Virgin, Holy, you who had visions, you who spoke in tongues, you who prophesied, but you would tell us that the greatest of these was love. The greatest of these was love. The founders of the Carmelite Order Reformed. Get her book. You can get it in the library. The Autobiography of Saint Teresa of Avila. Then I think of another founder. I think of Ignatius of Loyola. You know, Ignatius wanted nothing to do with God. He was a man into chivalry, you know. He was into caring about women and making sure that they had their proper place. And he was into being a soldier and all these things. Those were Ignatius of Loyola's plans, you know. But you see, he got hurt in the war. And you know, he carried that hurt through his whole life. His leg was awful. Had tremendous pain. And he was brought into a house when he was hurt in the war. And because he was bright, he wanted something to read. You know, there were no magazines at the time. And he was brought into a house that was a Christian house. And the only thing they had for him to read was the lives of the saints. And Ignatius started to read these saints' lives and started to think, I could do this. I could change my chivalry to honor Jesus Christ and his mother. I could be a soldier in the army of the Lord. And when he started to think this, he started to receive tremendous peace. Then he started to think, but maybe I should be a soldier again, a regular soldier in the world. And he got joy, but it went into depression. And that's how he started to discern what was of God, what was the action of God in a person's life. As God gave peace to what plans they had, that was of God. If joy came or peace came and then depression, that was not of God. And so he established this whole experience of discernment of spirits. What is of God? What is of man? What is of the devil? Let me just tell you, Ignatius was looking to start a band of men, and he did. They were called Companions of Jesus. The word companion means to eat bread with. Companions of Jesus. And he formed this little band around him, went to school, was ordained, and guess what? The only people that wanted to grow in the spirit were women. And as a result, he was taken to the courts of the church because people were saying that he was doing something wrong morally with women. Now, Ignatius was doing nothing wrong but bringing these people into a greater relationship with Jesus. So what happened? He was finally vindicated. He starts his order, we call it the Jesuits, the companions of Jesus, and he had a fourfold charism. Poverty, chastity, obedience, and obedience to the Holy Father. They were the soldiers of the Catholic Church, the defenders of the faith. They were the ones that led people in a retreat, a 30-day retreat, and they still do, to seek the face of God and to find the will of God for people's lives. Oh, yes, they were there. And they still are. And I find this about Jesuits. This is my own experience. In 2010, they are either the best of the best, which means they are following their founder, Ignatius, the way he lived and the way he discerned and the way he loved the church. Or they are the worst of the worst, which means they are liberal and they have found that the world is their answer. That's how I have seen Jesuits. I have seen holy, beautiful Jesuits that you would want to kiss their feet because they're men of God. Then I have seen the crazy lunatics that have really tossed away the gift of Ignatius, the gift of their founder, the gift of the retreat, and have delved into the world and said, you know what? Homosexuality is all right. You know what? Gay marriages is all right. You know what? Abortion is all right. Isn't it sad that a man like Ignatius, who established this beautiful community, the Companions of Jesus, the Jesuits, that so many would turn away from the truth of the gospel? Isn't it sad? But not all. But not all. Oh, there are many good men, many holy, awesome men who follow the charism of the founder. I'm going to tell you, if you divert from the charism of the founder, your order will die. And I'm going to tell you, God has given each one of us leading graces. And if we divert from those leading graces, we will die. Do you understand what I'm saying? The Lord has given each one of us leading graces that have brought us to Him. We must never divert from those graces that have brought us to Him. We must build upon them. We must build upon them. The Jesuits have made a tremendous impact throughout the world. We have people like Francis Xavier, a Jesuit, who proclaimed the gospel in China and in Japan. And really, the one who did it in Japan more than Francis Xavier was an Italian Jesuit. I remember reading when I went to Japan to preach many years ago for charismatic renewal, the story of this Italian man who really brought Christianity to Japan. But let me tell you this about Japan. Japan has experienced so many martyrs, Jesuit martyrs and other martyrs who have died for the sake of Christ. Do you know that in Japan, only 0.5% are Christian? That's a 0.5%. Are Christian. That's Catholic and Protestant and Orthodox. In Japan, only 0.5%, 0.5% of the people are Christian. I remember being with these beautiful Jesuits, and they would be praying O Lord, let the blood of the martyrs cause there to be a harvest in Japan. Let the blood of the martyrs cause there to be a harvest in Japan. I will say this about the Japanese Catholics. They are so gentle and so beautiful and so reverent and so loving. They might not be loud, but there is an aura about them of beauty, quiet, love of God, love of the Eucharist. This is real. I was there. I saw it. So magnificent, so magnificent that the Lord knows how to do all these things. That the Lord knows how to do all these things. Today I ask you to pray for the Jesuits, and I ask you to pray for the Carmelites. Might be a good thing to go get a biography of Ignatius of Loyola. Ignatius of Loyola. Do you know that he wept and wept and wept and wept and wept when he would celebrate Mass? He wept that he burned his eyes out. He wept and wept and wept at the beauty of the crucified, risen Savior. This is a man of God. This is a man whom we should emulate, but I'll tell you why. Because he had the Spirit of God. This is a woman whom we should emulate in prayer, Teresa of Avila, because she had the Spirit of God. It's all about the Holy Spirit. It's all about being led by the Holy Spirit. It's all about being captivated by the Spirit of God who leads us to Jesus. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's so simple. The Holy Spirit is the solution to this world's problems because he brings us to Jesus. The Holy Spirit is wonderful. I need to hear from you, Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And tomorrow at St. Adelaide's and West Peabody from 11 o'clock until 3, a men's conference. I hope you're going.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.